said it was finished. I thank the Lord for it. So glad for that. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to speak to you about something that could change our lives. Every time we open the Bible, it can change our lives. You know, I could do something. I don't know, when it comes to the preaching time, I think about, you know, how important it is, because it's something that will help us. And then I think about how little time really I have. I know to you it seems like a long time sometimes, but really a little time to try to convey to you what God's put on my heart. But I think it'll help us. Let's ask God to help us now. Father, thank you again. Lord, it's been good to be here today. It's always good to be here. God, you blessed us mightily in this place. And Lord, you bless us every day wherever we go. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. You're always there. But there's something about coming apart from this old world and coming together with God's people. And Lord, just thank you for what we have in common here today. Now, Lord, help us as I preach. Give me the words to say. Lord, help those that are weary to be refreshed now and listen. For, Lord, I believe with all my heart something we're going to talk about is so important. So, Father, bless, save the one that's here without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I'm talking about when I say one-sided, what I'm really talking about there is a one-sided relationship. And, you know, a one-sided relationship never goes well. I don't care what situation you could give me, the situation, scenario, and I'll say this, if it's one-sided, it's not going to go well. And the problem is because it's just that one-sided. It's my way or the highway. That doesn't really work, and it doesn't work in marriages. You know, I still believe, I'm still old-fashioned, I believe the husband's to be the head of the house. And wife, she's supposed to do everything the husband says. Amen. I was trying to throw one in on you there, all right. But what happens, the wife's important too, isn't she? I'm still trying to figure it out. But know what? The wife's very important too. The husband, there's a submission, and there is the submission of a wife. I mean, that's old-fashioned, I know, but that's Bible. And but the thing is, there is such a thing as two sides, you know. They say the little statement takes two to, you know, to rumble, a fight takes two people. You can get along pretty well by yourself. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I have problems with myself. You ever do that too? You know, I'm thinking, oh, you dummy, why'd you do that? But, you know, usually we get in a fight because of somebody else with us there. And usually the fights come, the fussing goes, and it is in a marriage. If a husband is one-sided in a relationship, it's my way or no other way, then it's not going to be a good marriage. And I'm not saying that, again, I hope you don't get me wrong. I'm not saying man is to be the mealy one and let the wife run everything. I believe a man has a responsibility unto God, being the head of the home. But a man needs to understand there is two sides to the relationship. You've got to understand that the wife has... You don't have to understand. You know this. The wife has feelings. Sometimes guys do too, though, don't they? Boy, I'm looking like it's not going well here so far, and I'm just getting started. But a relationship that is not two-sided is in for trouble. So a wife that's, it's all about her, it's going to be trouble in the home. You know, it's just me and the husband, forget about him, forget about the kids. It's a bad situation. But when the relationship is right, the husband and the wife have the right relationship with each other, and they're not one-sided, it's two people, two works out a whole lot better. The one-sided relationship can also be with families and with parents. You know, with having children. I believe, again, this is old-fashioned, but I still believe it. I believe mom and dad are over the kids. Mom and dad call the shots. But moms and dads need to understand that there needs to be a relationship with the children. And I believe we live in a time now where a lot of kids are not being raised with their parents. They may live in the same house, but not being raised by them, because it's so more important to have money than the raising of their children. So what happens, the home becomes one-sided, where that the parents don't have time for the kids. Or it could turn it around that way too, that the children sometimes have no time for their parents. Now, I am thankful for activities that we can do and things that kids could be involved in, but I really believe this with all my heart. It is important, it is very important for our children to have a relationship at home too. And we must never know. I was telling somebody this past week, and my wife and I, we've always talked about this, but in the church we belonged in, you could be in an activity, some kind of activity, something going on at our church every day of the week. Now, that may sound good at first, but let me tell you something, what it does. And what we saw happening was this. It tore apart families. Where there was not, the children were not with mom and dad. How important moms and dads? God gave children to moms and dads. So there has to be the both sides, the relationship of a husband and a wife, both sides to make that thing work out right. Both sides for a family to work out right. Moms and dads need to have time for their children. Children need to have time for mom and dad. They need that time together. If not, it becomes one side. A child left to himself is a lot of problems, isn't it? The Bible talks about that. They're into mischief. They're into all kinds of troubles. And that's why we have a lot of problems, I think, going on in America today, is because there's not been it's been a one-sided relationship when it comes to our homes today. So it's sad when that happens. But it would be in the same thing with friendships. With friendships, there's two sides. There, you know, to be a friend, you got to be a friend. Usually when a relationship and a friendship is only one-sided, you won't have friends very long. So, you know, all these things is so very important, but there needs to be, what I'm trying to get at this morning is this, to move down to this point. There's got to be we got to understand we need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not just expecting him to have a relationship with us. It's more than one-sided. You know, I hate to say this, but you know why most people get saved? I don't know if I hate to say this, but you know why most people get saved? Because they want to stay out of hell. Amen? I mean, we'll be honest. Man, I got saved because I loved God. The truth of the matter is, probably all of us said, I didn't want to go to hell. Now you love God, right? But it wasn't by, you know, I just know God loves me so much. I just love God so much, I want to get saved. It was this, we knew we were lost. In fact, the first thing you need to know to be able to be saved is know that you're lost. So we looked to God and said, God, I don't want to go to hell. So we looked to God, we want to go to heaven. And I understand, and I hope you understand what I'm talking about here. I understand that you know, that's what happens, but after we get saved, we realize how wonderful it is to be a Christian. But the fact is, we ask him for that. But then what happens when it comes to prayer? Usually I talk about this in Sunday school. When do we pray? When we need something. One-sided. Lord, I want to go to heaven, don't want to go to hell. And what happens, and you've heard me say this, they want a ticket out of hell. And I understand, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And when I pray, Lord, I got to go to the doctors, I got to go to do this, I've got this thing at work, and we pray. I understand, we need to pray like that. But you see, there has to be more than just us looking at God as a realtor who has a home in heaven for us. And as a banker that has all the things that we need, God needs to be more in our life than a realtor and a banker. God wants a relationship with us. A one-sided relationship of a Christian is one that wants to do what they want to do and nothing else. A one-sided relationship has the idea of I'm going to do what I want to do and doesn't matter what anyone else says, and I want to do what is best for me. A one-sided relationship is saying this, no limitations on me, I'll do whatever I want. And when I get in trouble, I'll call on God to help me again. But as I started out, we understand a one-sided relationship doesn't work in marriage. It doesn't work in friendships. It doesn't work in our homes. And I'll say this too, it does not work as a Christian. You say, well, I wanted to stay out of hell, I got saved. All right, now, let's make the Lord more than just our escape out of hell. God says, I want a relationship with you. So Paul is warning here about some things. If you notice there in verse number 17, he said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He said, you know what? You need to quit walking in the vanity of your mind like those Gentiles are. They had a real problem. And then he goes on to tell us what some of these problems were in their life. If you look at verse number 18, we'll start there and look at some of the problems that was going on. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, get this morning here. When we don't have the right relationship with God, and I guess maybe we ought to start out this morning by asking the question, do you have a relationship with God? And then maybe let's go a little bit deeper. Do you have a deep and a spiritual and a good relationship with God? You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm glad. If you're saved, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I'm glad that I'm saved, but I'll tell you this. God wants more than that out of our lives. What kind of relationship do you have with him? You see, preacher, really doesn't matter. If it's not right, then what happens? Then our understanding becomes darkened. And, you know, not having understanding is a very dangerous thing. Let's take, for instance, a chainsaw. Could that be dangerous? Whether or not, I never had a chainsaw until I moved out here. And we got a wood burner and I bought a chainsaw. I had no idea, you know, I'm thinking you start it up and you got to go like this. You folks have done chainsaw, some of you ladies right now going, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do? That's why I say not having understanding is dangerous. But I had people teach me how to use a chainsaw, because a chainsaw is very dangerous. People have killed themselves, have cut their limbs off because of it. So there needs to be, a chainsaw is a good thing to have, but it becomes dangerous if you don't have understanding. You know, I wouldn't go down to junior church right now and say, all right, kids, we're all going to play with chainsaws today. Give everyone, and we'll start it for them. Now, have at it. Not going to do that. Why? They don't have an understanding of what it can do. Right. Same thing with a gun. Right. You know, there's been people, you've seen the videos of it, where people, they have no idea. I saw some bonehead, he had a shotgun that didn't have the stock like on it, but it had just like a handle like you would shoot, like you're supposed to shoot it like this. And what he did like this. And you know what? When he shot it, he got a big bloody nose because that thing came back. You know why? He had no understanding. I saw one, an instructor was saying, now with this guy that got this revolver here, he said, when you pull the hammer back, and he's inside one of these ranges, and when you pull the hammer back here, now all of a sudden it is ready to fire. And he pulled the trigger inside, pointing up into the ceiling. That's not good. Evidently, he didn't have understanding what would happen. And I heard on the video, the guy standing next to him said, were you supposed to do that? And he goes, yeah. No, he wasn't. Dangerous without the right understanding. Now, here's the one that really gets you. Super glue. Huh? You got to have understanding of that stuff, don't you? The other day, I was trying to glue some stuff together, and I got this crazy glue. My wife said, I got some here, and I opened it up, you know, and I smeared it on stuff and it didn't stick. And so I smeared some more and it didn't stick. And next thing I know, I got web fingers. My fingers were stuck together. I was walking around, you know, my fingers stuck. And finally, I got those babies loose. You know what? Go give some crazy glue to those kids in junior church right now. Here, glue your Play-Doh together. Chuckle, 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 huh? You need understanding. You see, here's what's dangerous when we have, and I say these things that make you laugh because you were falling asleep, and so I woke you up. Thank you for waking up for unspiritual things. But here's the thing that we've got to have an understanding. When we're not understanding the things of God, we're asking for trouble, like trying to mess with a chainsaw, not having an understanding of it. How to mess with a gun and not knowing what it could do, not knowing about that glue that can glue you together. People have glued things all, they had all kinds of problems. Why? A lack of understanding. God said here, the apostle was telling us here, having the understanding darkened. We've got to have an understanding of the things of God. But we're going around, I believe, so many times as Christians in the world, we're going around with all kinds of problems happening because we don't understand what God is talking about. We have this idea, I can do it myself. Not understanding, we need God's help. I like that song, I need thee every hour. I've got to have him. I need his help in my life. I need his guidance. And thank God we have this Bible here that gives us guidance in our life. We need understanding. That's why we ought to have biblical standards in our life. Yeah, I said that bad word, standards. We ought to have biblical standards. You know what it does? It helps us have understanding. You know, I didn't let Mark, when I was a little kid, play with my chainsaw. I did give him crazy glue, just see what happened. But I didn't let him play with those things. Why? I didn't want him to get hurt. He didn't have understanding. You know, most of us in here has been saved for a while. We ought to have some understanding. He said, well, preacher, I've been saved a long time, and I just don't understand. You know why? Because you're not adopting the standards of the Word of God that will help us to have understanding. You say, I don't see why, if we'll get this, understanding God said to. That'll help us. That'll help us. And, you know, you wonder sometimes, why do Christians sometimes get involved with such horrible things? I'll tell you why. Because it was all about them and not having an understanding of what God's Word says. You know what having standards will do? It'll keep you from getting into all kinds of problems. You know why? You know, farmers have fences around their animals for a reason. Because they hate them? No, they want to keep them safe. Those goats out there, I'm not sure what they're good for. But there are goats out there, you know, the goats out there, they have fence out there because they know if they get out on the street, they're going to die. They keep them. The cows, they keep them all fenced in. They want it. With your dogs, you know what the sad thing is? Some people are more concerned about their dogs than they are their kids. Let their kids go running everywhere, and yet the dog has got, he's got that chain, he's got those little flags in the yard, got the collar on there, and all of a sudden makes them flip over when he barks or something else, you know, all the different things. And they're worried about their dog, you know, Fluffy running out the road while the kids, they have no idea where they're at. Darkened. Their understanding darkened. And then it says about alienated from God. Alienated from the life of God, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. I'm thinking, you know, what a terrible thing to be alienated from God. You know, if we're not careful, we'll get to a place where we don't care what the Lord wants. And then even, this is what happens, sometimes people even become hostile to God. You say, preacher, I'd never do that. Oh, yeah. You can when your life, when your situation becomes a one-sided relationship. Lord says, this is what I want you to do. I need to say, Lord, I want what you want. That's a two-sided relationship. That'll make a strong relationship. Make a strong relationship. Don't be alienated from God. But here's what happens. This is what ends up happening. People get alienated from God is they begin to blame God for every problem they got themselves into. You know, if I close my eyes driving down that lane and I end up off the side into that fence over there, whose fault is it? My fault. God, why'd you let me do this? God said, you closed your eyes. I need to have my eyes on the Lord. I'm afraid sometimes we're going to get ourselves into a wreck. I'm not talking about an automobile wreck. I'm talking about our lives a wreck. Our lives will end up being a wreck. And young folks, listen carefully. I mean, your life, you're young. I'm telling you, you need to make sure that you have that right relationship with God. Keep your eyes upon Him all the way through. But I'll say this too. You may be the oldest person in this room. I'm telling you right now, just because you got gray hair, just because you got wrinkles in your face, just because your birthday candles can light a fire, a building, burn it down, I'm telling you right now, you need to serve God. You need to have a relationship with Him. Your age has nothing to do with it. Fact of the matter is, I found some old people to be pretty unspiritual. Age has nothing to do with it. Relationship is what it's all about. But then there's also the ignorance. He talked about alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance, lack of knowledge and awareness. I remember when I first moved out here, you know, Pennsylvanians talk different. I mean, you don't know it, but you do. The reason I know it, because I weren't one of you before. I remember so well the day that I remember that it hit me that everybody's talking better now. I moved here and I thought, everybody, what Pennsylvanians do? We all talk like this. Are you coming over? Indiana, you talk like this. You coming over? Get the difference? Are you coming over? And this, it's all. All what? No Hoosier says it is all. They say it is all gone. Or even some of you got sillier. It's ollie ollie. Now don't get mad at me. I didn't. It's what you've been doing. But you know, I never heard such stuff. Ewens. What's Ewens? I had no idea. And I was from out there, and all of a sudden, I was here for a while, and everybody started sounding like they were talking all right. I got used to you. T- Tom and Debbie come visit us. And he always laughed. He goes, man, you guys talk so funny. I go, no, we don't. And so he was explaining to me. He's the one who said, that all of our sentences go up. He said, I was in a store. Tom and Debbie were in a store one day, and they were talking to somebody down in Florida. And they said to him, they said, you're from Pennsylvania, aren't you? And the store owner said, yeah, how'd you know? He said, you talk like one. I said, what do you mean? And there it was. Are you coming over? When I came out here, one of the words I found was this. He was ignorant. You know what they meant? They meant he was being unkind. Right? Come on, Pennsylvania folks. You know what I'm talking about. Ignorant means I don't know anything. Look it up. Pennsylvania folks don't have a dictionary, evidently, because the word yuns ain't in there. But you know, ignorant, we're not talking here about someone being a smart aleck, but he was ignorant to me. No, that means this, they're being stupid. There's a danger about being stupid. I'm gonna start that chainsaw. I'll just hold on to this chain here while I pull. Stupid. What if this gun's loaded? Stupid. Wonder what this crazy glue will do on my toothbrush. Stupid. Right? Ignorance. That's what's talking about. A lack of knowledge, a lack of awareness. And I think so many people mess their lives up because they have an ignorance of what the Bible says. God told us not to do things because they will harm us. Hey, he knows he made us. There's no excuse for ignorance because we have the Word of God. He's given us churches. I'm glad for churches. I come in church. I always feel better here. You know what I'm telling you right now? 10:30 tomorrow morning, I'm not going to feel as good as I feel right now. Because when I go in the doctor's office and they tell me, lay down, we're going to put you out, I'm not going to feel so good. But I feel great right now. So we're not leaving. We're staying right here. I'm glad we can come to church. God gave us churches so that we might not be ignorant. I mean, you think about it today. Now you know what ignorance really means. See, you learn something. But God gives us churches. He gives us preachers. He gives us teachers to help us. You understand? The Lord established the church. He didn't establish the church. Now listen to this. He didn't establish the church for us to play and have picnics. You say, we're not having any more? No, we're having them, though, in December, but not anymore. We are having them again. We'll wait till it's cooler, amen? But you know, it doesn't mean it's wrong to have a picnic. I'm saying this. The church, the picnic is not the most important of the things of the church. Most important is right now. You know, I've said this to parents about school. If you have to make a choice between the school and church, you choose church. Now, I believe you're really smart when you choose both. But I believe this, too. If you have to make the choice on whether something else or church, you make the choice of church. And this is what I'm told. God said, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant. How can we not be ignorant? We have the Word of God. We have churches. We have preachers. We have teachers that help us to teach these things. There's no reason with Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, there's no reason for us to not know what this Bible says. Plus, we all get to take one home with us. Amen. Then he said, blinded hearts, too. The last part of that says, because of the blindness of their hearts. That's so dangerous. Because, you know, you said, preacher, why you say that? Because we've got to live by faith. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen his hands. I'm looking forward to someday doing that. I need faith. I read about him. I know the Spirit of God lives within me, but I can't see the Holy Spirit. I can't see that throne of grace. But my faith is in what God's Word says. And because of that, I must be very careful not to allow my heart to be blinded. Look at the world today. Blinded hearts. They have no idea. I'm telling you what, the more and more we see what's happening in the world today, it just, the immorality, the cruelness, the vileness, I mean, I'm telling you, growing up, I never thought I would see what I'm seeing happening today. Why is it blindness of hearts? You say, preacher, how can I keep my heart from being blind? Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, someone that's just playing around with sin all the time has never hid the word of God in their heart. Well, they may have it, and it may be laying on the coffee table at home, but let me tell you something, folks. On the coffee table, it doesn't do a thing. It's got to be in our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Without the word of God, in our hearts, we'll have a one-sided relationship with the Lord. We'll say, Lord, I want heaven. Give me that ticket. Thank you, Lord, for that ticket. Whoa, I got some problems right now. I need some money. I need this job. I need this house. I need this car. Like he's the bank. God says, I want a relationship with you. You know how we ought to always start out our prayers? Praising God. Thanking God. Giving glory to him. We say, dear Jesus, I need $100. You got to do it. You got to do it. You know, why not just before you, and you may really need $100, but I'll tell you what, why don't you just start praising him a little bit? Have a two-sided relationship with him, you see. And then he said, past feeling. Boy, that's a scary one there to me, too. He said, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. But the past feeling, I thought, you know, how sad it is there. The Bible says in Titus 4:2 says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Getting past feeling means this doesn't bother you anymore. It's a one-sided relationship. You know, I feel sorry for the husband that doesn't have any feelings for his wife. Amen. And I feel sorry for the wife, too. I feel sorry for the husband. He's missing something. You understand, God gave him a wife, and I'll be thankful. Let's turn it around. Same thing. You know, I feel sorry for those folks having that one-sided relationship. They have no feeling. It doesn't bother people when they sin. There's no feeling. You know, I tell you right now, if you could sin and not be bothered by it, you're either number one, not saved, or number two, you are very bad backslidden. You got into this place here, what God said, where that they're past feeling. Past feeling. You could sit in a service after service after service and not be moved. The invitation goes on. It's time to get our things together and get ready to go home. Why does that happen? Why are we looking around outside the window and playing around when it's invitation time? I wonder, could it be because we're past feeling? You know, I appreciate, you know, many of you, when you go out, you say, well, thank you for that message. That was a blessing to me. Here's the thing. I'm glad you're thankful for it. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, please. I'm glad you're thankful for it, but my question is this. Do they touch you? Does it touch you? Does it make a difference in your life? I'm not here to entertain you. I know I use some humor. And again, try to get your attention. But it's not about the humor. It's to get your attention and get you the truth. Because the truth will help you. If we're not careful, we'll get past feeling to where we go to church and we leave just the way we came. That's a dangerous place to be. Then he said, given over unto lasciviousness. That's lustfulness. You say, preacher, well, Christians couldn't have that happen. Oh, yes, it happens all the time. Given over to lust instead of the things of God. Every one of us has got to keep our guard up all the time. Amen. And so I'll preach, I just don't, and I know you don't get it, but that's what God was saying here. He said, I don't want you to walk like the Gentiles and walk like the vanity of their mind. In other words, they do whatever they want to do, and they're not thinking about their relationship with the Lord. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And what a price was paid. So many folks have got caught up in all kinds of sin today. I'm talking Christian folks, saved people. I know there's things out there where people, they have listed of all the, and they love, the world feeds on the failures of God's people. And they like to throw it out there. Let me tell you something, God's people can fail just as bad as anyone else. The sad thing is, when the lost people fail, it's a black eye on the devil, if you will, if they say, what's all about? I don't want to have a black eye on the Lord as God's child. More concerned with what feels good rather than what is right. And then also, look at verse 19, who being past feeling are given themselves unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They become immoral, become impure. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Huh. That could happen to anybody, couldn't it? That's what he said. He goes on to say in verse number 15, then when lust, listen to this now, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's pretty strong, isn't it? It brings forth death. Serious business. He said, preacher, what do I do then? Well, you know, the apostle here tells us what happens if we walk like the other Gentiles walk and in the vanity of our mind. Tells us all the bad things that can happen. But do you notice verse number 20? He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. He said, but you've learned something different. And what does he say? He says, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. In other words, how can I keep from walking like others and messing up my life? I can keep from doing that if I'll listen to what Jesus has to say. Jesus knows what's best. Little kids sing the song, don't they? About Jesus loves me, this I know. They know that song. Jesus does love us, and he wants us to do what's best, and he wants us to have a life that's happy and a life full of joy. And it's not a one-sided thing. When we start saying, I'll do what I want, then we got problems. But if I say, I will do what Jesus wants, I know he loves me, therefore I love him, and there's that two-sided relationship. And I'll be happy. Listen to him. Bible says, Proverbs 22:17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. That's why we need to start our kids young. Amen. We need to start our kids young. You know, I get a kick out of the kids. And Noah the other day, Zach Mandy's little boy, Noah, they were sick and they had church at home, and Noah was the preacher. And little old Noah, and so what he had a laundry basket. They sent me a picture, laundry basket turned upside down. And he had a Bible there and a piece of paper and a pencil. And he was taking prayer requests. Well, where did he learn that from? Not his daddy. I mean, he learned that in church, didn't he? He was having Wednesday night prayer meeting. And he asked for prayer requests, and they gave prayer requests, you know, and he was writing those prayer requests down. He said, all right, let's pray. And you know what he did? He knelt down behind the pulpit. Who does that? His preacher does. He knows Wednesday night we take those prayer requests. I'm just wondering, how does he know I'm kneeling when we're praying? You might want to talk to him. He must have been peeking a little bit. I don't know. But you understand this? He's listening. Yeah. I don't know how his sermon went. It might have been better than mine. I don't know. I don't know how a sermon went, but I'll tell you what. I'm saying right now, there's a little boy that's going to start first grade here in a couple days. You know what? Already understand some things about it. May I say this? There's kids, he's understood this before just this last week. There's little kids down there right now know about Jesus, and they want to follow him, and they're more excited than most adults are today about him. Listen to Jesus. Put off the old man. that ye put off, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. I don't understand why Christians, people get saved and want to live that old life again. Come on, it's like, you know, it's like you got tattered clothes. Yeah, this one thing, back home we had a rescue mission, and the guys would come in, you know, a bunch of drunks, and they'd hop a train, they'd come into town, and the rescue mission, they'd have them, come on in, we'll give you some new clothes, and we'll feed you, and they would come in, and boy, they wanted food, they'd change in their new clothes, but they'd keep their old clothes under the bed. And they'd eat the food, and all of a sudden, they want a drink. Well, there's no drinking there at the rescue mission. You know what they'd do? They'd take off their good new clothes, put their old clothes back on, and go down to the down the road there to what, that little shop there, the pawn shop, and they would sell their clothes to buy some booze. You know, you'd wonder why they'd want to go back to that life, but that's what sin will do. That's what sin will do. That's what God's talking about here. He said, put off the old man. You know what they finally started doing? They'd say, all right, sir, we're glad you're here. We want to talk to you about Jesus. Here's some nice clean clothes, and there's a shower, and here's a towel. You go in and take a shower and give me your old clothes. And they would take a shower, put their new clothes on. They would take their old clothes and burn them. You didn't want them. They burned their clothes. You know what? They had to keep those clothes. They couldn't go and sell them for liquor, because you're getting in trouble walking around naked in town. You know what? God says, I want you to put away the old man. He don't have anything to offer anyhow. But sorrow. Put off the old man. The old man cries like a baby when he doesn't get his way. That's the way Christians are sometimes. They want to go back to the old ways. Well, I can't go here and I can't do that. And they start bawling around. But God says, I want you to do this. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says about the renewing of your mind. You know, we need to start thinking different. Amen. Could you imagine what America would be like if everybody started thinking like Jesus tells us to think? I mean, do you know what the presidency would be like? If everybody did what Jesus wanted, I could see Biden going, you know, couldn't you see him? Trump, go ahead, be president again. Trump goes, no, you be president. I can't even think that way. Oh, man, all of a sudden I had this, like, electricity went through me. Like, could you imagine if all of a sudden, what would happen? If those Antifas would say, you know what? We're turning to Jesus. We don't need all this stuff. We're going to go out and, hey, can we help clean up all of our dirty words we put on the walls? Can we help clean up stuff? Could you imagine what America would be like? When you went to a store and they said, we've got 50% off, and it's really 50% off. They didn't raise it 100% and then take 50% off. It really. I mean, wouldn't America be different? You know what? We can't do that for all America, but we can do it in our own lives. Renew your mind. Start thinking different. Our thoughts need to line up with the thoughts of God. I'll tell you what, that'll help you with my preaching. When you start thinking of what the Bible says is right. And people sometimes, well, I don't like that preacher, man. You know why? He stepped on your toes. Get right with God, you'll be all right. And then you put on the new man. That's what he said, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man, I thought, you know. I didn't just look down and have this suit on. I put it on this morning. You believe that? I didn't sleep in this. This is not my jammies, okay? I put this suit on purpose. I got it out this morning, and that big old long thread hanging out of my button. I said to my wife, I said, honey, you think that's going to fall off while I'm preaching? She says, well, let me see. And she pulled on it, and it fell off. So I think, yeah. She sewed my button on. What a good wife, amen. She didn't sew it on. There's bubble gum on the back of that. All right. But wait, she sewed that on there for me. But I on purpose put this suit on. I put these pants on, put the shirt on, put this jacket on, put my socks, my shoes. I put all those things on purpose. I didn't just get up out of bed and go, I hope I dress right. You do it on purpose. Y'all did the same thing, didn't you? You didn't come up to church like, oh, wow. Now, I have done this before. I've got to church and thought I'm like, who put on that black sock? And then crossed my leg and said, oh, the same guy had put the blue sock on that one. But you know what? We do it on purpose, get dressed, don't we? We put on our outfit on purpose this morning. We need to, on purpose, put on the new man. If we'll not, we'll keep wearing the old man. You ever seen kids do that? I'm telling you what. You know, as you get older, you go back to childhood. I used to think I couldn't wear those clothes again. You know, they need to go dirty clothes. I'm at the point now where I think they're all right. You ever see kids like that? You know, kids like that, they go, you need to go in and get a shower. I got one last week. Don't you smell something? No, I don't smell anything. I mean, it is done, burn out all their nostrils and they can't breathe anything. So I don't believe that. I can't smell that skunk, you know, that stink. And, you know, I don't know if a skunk could smell himself, but they seem happy. You know what? Sometimes we need to wake up and put on the new man. That means wash off the old stuff. Amen. You know, you're outside working underneath the car. I changed my own oil. I lay down there in the wintertime underneath there, get all that salt stuff off the floor, gets all on you. You got rocks in your hair. You know what? You got to get cleaned up. We live in an old, dirty world today, folks, and we need to put on the new man. If you just say, well, we'll see what will happen. You know what? You never change clothes by accident. You change on purpose, don't you? And that's how we do spiritually too. You say, well, I sat in church. You may have sat in church, but you need to change some things in your life. If not, here's why you won't. Because you have a one-sided relationship. I'm going to do whatever I want to. No limitations. My life. And you'll be a miserable person. But if you say, thy will be done. Lord, whatever you want. Lord says, I'll bless you. You'll be a happier person. But it all starts out with this, salvation, doesn't it? You know, a person that's lost can't put on salvation. You got to be born again. That's what Jesus said. You can't turn over a new leaf. You got to be born again. But when we get saved, we get a relationship with the Lord that needs to be nurtured, needs to be fed, needs to be worked on. A place where we've got to be willing to do whatever he wants us to do. And I find out that's the best place to be. I believe God wants us to walk with him. That's a two-sided relationship. I say, God, what do you want me to do? God says, this is what I want you to do. And then I say, I will do it. Two-sided relationship. God, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to bless them, give me this, and prepare my mansion in heaven. That's a one-sided relationship. But a two-sided relationship is the best relationship to have with God. Amen. I hope you've learned something this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the time this morning. Lord, I pray for these dear people here today that you would just speak to our hearts, help us to understand that something needs to happen in our lives. Lord, I pray that today we will put on the new man. But Lord, may we also understand we need to put off the old man. We need to listen to what the Word of God says. We're not to walk like the Gentiles, the other Gentiles, and those lost people. Something different. God, help us to have a relationship with you that would be pleasing to you. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed this morning, I'm going to ask you a couple things. Number one is this, are you saved? Was there a time in your life you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I wonder if there'd be anyone here this morning say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know that I go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, anyone? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know it. Then, Christian, what is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today? You say, I'm here. Well, you could be here just like you're here with other people, but not have any relationship with other people. There may be people in this room you don't even know. I mean, we're a small church, but really, truth of the matter is, you could be here this morning and not even know what someone else's name is on the other side of the room. You don't have a relationship with them. And sometimes it's just people you just know of them.